Welcome back, Paseo. We are here for our fourth and final week of the scripture practice with Practicing the Way. This week, we're going to be looking at the practice of memorizing scripture. And for many of you, that may be a totally new thing that you maybe haven't even thought about before. But we're going to dive into it and hopefully show you how not only is it, there's a pattern for it in scripture, but the benefits that come from memorizing scripture are sometimes unique, and the only way that we can get these things is through memorizing it. So, Shelton, any thoughts from you as we get started today?
I was asked on Sunday, in between services, by one of our church members. She said, "Why? I'm struggling to memorize. Why do I need to memorize scripture?" And I just loved her honesty in that.
Yeah,
she's a sweet, dear saint in the church, but she's just struggling. So she said, "Why do I need this?"
Yeah.
And which I appreciated that. So we talked about and we went to the passage actually that we studied last week in the temptation narrative. You'll notice Jesus recalled those scriptures quickly to fight off temptation. We'll talk about that here in a bit. But yeah, scripture memorization was something that Jesus practiced himself. And that probably is the biggest reason why we need to do it, because Jesus did it. We're followers of Jesus. He found it important, and so let us do this as well. And so let's jump into this topic of memorizing scripture. And our passage is an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, let me pull it up. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 27, and the setting there is the crucifixion. Jesus is on the cross. A very well-known passage of scripture. Let me just read it in verses 45 and 46. It says, "From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" And of course, this is Jesus quoting scripture in this moment of agony on the cross, and he's quoting verse 1 of Psalm 22, and we were talking a little bit about this before we started recording, but
yeah,
it's significant.
It's very significant. I love the insights that are brought into this by this study, because I referenced this passage a couple weeks ago and when I was talking about lament, and I do think Jesus is lamenting here, but lament isn't just complaining about the way things are. It is meeting complaint with hope of Scripture, right? And so it's being letting those two things fit together. And so I think the insights out of Psalm 22 here, which is what he's quoting, you were talking about the larger hook that's happening here and what's really going on here.
Right. So in Jesus' day, one of the ways that they would teach people to know the Scriptures is they would give them a hook. So we still do this today. We were joking that if we said, I tell you what I want,
what I really, really want,
we kind of auto-complete the rest of it. And they would do that. They would tap into this tendency of our human brains to, if you give it a hook, it will connect it to a longer passage. Another great way to think about this is the old manila folders. You know, you would have like the little tab.
Yeah.
And so whatever's written on that tab, it actually is an entry point into, well, what's in the folder itself? Mm. There's a whole lot more in there. So Jesus, in Psalm 22, verse 1, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? He's referencing Psalm 22, but not just Psalm 22, 1, but the rest of the passage. So let me just read a few verses from the rest of that passage. What's in that folder, so to speak, of Psalm 22? And we're not going to read the whole thing, although I would encourage folks to do that. It's only about 30 verses, but I want to read a few verses starting about halfway through in verse 12 and just connect this to the setting of Jesus on the cross. In Psalm 22, verse 12, it says, "Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword and my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Mm. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help.
It's so good.
It's powerful, right?
So you're saying that by, and what we're being taught here is that by giving that hook, he is recalling to a people who have memorized the Psalms. These would be Psalms that they would say often, right?
Yes.
And so this is a Psalm of familiarity to them, a messianic Psalm that was speaking ahead. And so while all he has to do, and maybe he's just doing it for himself, this is what he's recalling into himself in this time of grief. All of a sudden, all of these verses are being fulfilled. He's like saying, and not only, it starts with, you have forsaken me. Why have you forsaken me? But it ends with, you will not forsake. You have not forsook the afflicted one. Just so powerful there, right? He walks through all of that. So you think about what's going on emotionally in his disciples' hearts or his mom's heart, who's right there watching, in his own mind. And so he calls this out. And for him, it is ministering to him. He's renewing his mind, resetting his mind on the truth, not on what it feels like in that moment, right? And so that's so cool, that idea of a hook, that the rest of the psalm is so, I mean, it's tragic, but it ends with hope. Like, you will rescue me from this.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's a couple ways to think about this. One is, it's such a cool thing that Jesus did here. In the moment on the cross, where his enemies would be gloating, like Psalm 22 talks about, as this is the nadir of his life, a time of his greatest defeat, you know, Jesus is able to essentially point people to how this is actually a fulfillment of what God had promised hundreds of years before through King David. But I also think that it's significant that this passage was in Jesus. So in this moment of suffering, we can only suppose that this was a great encouragement to him as he's suffering. This, not just this Psalm 22:1, but everything that comes after it helps him endure the cross, despise the shame, because he sees, hey, this is part of God's plan. This is in the scriptures.
And this is what we talked about a couple weeks ago in our sermon series. We will all, while we will not all be nailed to a cross, praise be to God, we will all go through times of suffering.
Right.
Like, that is promised and guaranteed. And how do we meet those hard times? What's inside of us that we give air to? And do we even have the tools inside of us to respond to that with hope and with truth? And that's where scripture memorization is gigantic. You are putting tools inside of you to fight despair, to fight temptation, to meet it with the truth of Christ, because those tools are inside of you. Really, it's tools in the Spirit's hands that he is picking up in the garage of your mind, saying, let's build out some truth and what's happening here.
Yeah, I think about when I was new in my faith and I had really begun to follow Jesus. I was enthusiastic about this. And oftentimes, the people that have known you the best prior to Christ can be the most skeptical about your faith after you've come to Christ. And I definitely experienced that with some of my family members. And so, you know, memorizing how a prophet is not without honor in his own hometown and among his own family members was an encouragement to me because it spoke to something I was experiencing, you know, struggle, wanting folks to understand that I was sincere in this new step of faith. And probably all of us, we can think about how the Word of God has met us in a time of suffering or a time of struggle. And when we memorize God's Word and keep it in our hearts, the Holy Spirit is able to bring those passages to mind at a timely moment.
I have this vivid memory. I think it's probably the Kind of a couple of, well, I think it's probably the first passage I really put to memory mm-hmm. on purpose, and was just on a walk with the Lord in Abilene State Park in the middle of West Texas at a friend's wedding. Amy was with the friend getting ready for the wedding, so I went for a little hike and just had a sweet moment with the Lord. And for whatever reason, I was reading Ephesians 5, and Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 just jumped out to me, just jumped. As dearly loved children, be imitators of God and live a life of love, just like He loved us and gave Himself up for us mm-hmm. as a fragrant offering. It just jumped out to me. And I think it hit me that I was a dearly loved child, mm-hmm. and it just made my life's goal way simple. Just imitate God. Mm-hmm. Here's what I need to do, just imitate God. It has stuck with me. I think I quoted it second service on Sunday. Just in there. And I remember it. I recall it a lot. But it was one of those, hey, this means a lot. I'm just going to, I got to put that in. And I think it was the first time that I had said, I want to do more than just read that and thank the Lord for it and think it's awesome. I'm going to commit that to memory, you know, and then really start working on it. Yeah. I don't think you accidentally necessarily memorize something. You memorize it by going to it over and over and over again and really working on it.
Right.
You have some neat tools that you've used, because I think of the people I know, you might have the most scripture put to memory.
Yeah, this is something that when I was pretty new in my faith, I had some mentors who encouraged me to begin memorizing the scripture and even gave me some tools to help me begin to do that. One of them is called the topical memory system, mm-hmm. which is available still, but it was these really little cards, which are hard to read now for me with my eyes at my current age. But
Your mentor gave them to you. He can no longer see them. So
that's
like,
right. If I use my glasses, I can read these. But scripture memory has been a part of my journey over the years, and I've definitely seen the benefit. You know, oftentimes we don't have a physical Bible with us. And whether that's us encountering some situation that would benefit from having God's wisdom in our minds and in our hearts, or oftentimes folks will be asking for advice, or you'll just be in a conversation and the Holy Spirit will bring mm-hmm. a verse mm-hmm. to mind that you've committed to memory. And how great is that? Because now you're not just trying to give them your best idea or your wisdom, but you can share with them, you know, this reminds me of something that I read in scripture once, and you can share that with them, and now it's the wisdom of God that you're passing on. So, yeah, some tips that I would offer folks is first of all, just pick a verse. Mm. I would try to keep it to one or two verses mm-hmm. to start. We've got some suggestions this week that I would encourage folks to use. John 13, 34, and 35, a new commandment. That's a great one, because this is from Jesus himself. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So that's a great verse to memorize, John 13, 34 and 35. Ephesians 4, 29 and 30 talks about, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. That's a great one that I promise you, if you memorize that, it will help you.
It's like speak. It's a governor on your the way you talk.
It will change the way you speak just by memorizing that those two verses, Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. And then Philippians 4, 6 and 7, these are great. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And all of us struggle with anxiety. So memorizing these verses, again, I've just found that when I begin to be anxious, that verse will just come to mind, because it's connecting. It's that it's that little tab. I'm anxious. Mm. Oh, that reminds me of Philippians 4, 6, and 7. What am I supposed to do with my anxiety? So first of all, pick a verse and set aside the week to learn it. You don't have to learn it all in one day. I would encourage folks to write it down. I would use a 3x4 card, not something this small. Just get a simple 3x4 card, actually write it out. There's something kinetic about that. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
You'll actually engage. You'll be learning it even as you're writing it. It's also engaging your visual learning process. And then as you read through that, I would encourage you to read it out loud 10 times. Mm. Just back to back, over and over. You know, be thinking about it. Don't just be reading it mindlessly, but be thinking about each word as you read it, and read it at the pace that you would speak it. Mm. And this is actually, if you learn it that way, you'll say it that way later. Mm. You'll be able to share it with someone else. So if you do that, if you write out the verse and then you just read it out loud 10 times and then turn that card over, you'll probably be about 75% of the way there of having it memorized. Mm. And then it's just every day doing that. By the end of the week, probably by day three, most of you will have it memorized, and then it's just a matter of going over it every day.
And there's all sorts of cool tools out there.
There are.
I think, and we all have the ability to memorize.
Yeah.
And some of us are more gifted. You have a very, very gifted memory when it comes to this, and you are obviously a visual learner. Like, mm-hmm. that helps you.
And the auditory is
and say very it out helpful. Loud.
Yep.
I have a very good quick memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can memorize something very quickly and then hold on to it, but long-term memory takes more effort for me.
Yeah.
My cache is cleared out very quickly in my mind. So I have to really think it through and go back. But you think about, how many songs do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if a song starts playing, like, your brain, and you think, how does a song get in there that I memorize those words to that, where it's mm-hmm. repetition, it's hearing it over? There are some neat tools. Matt, off screen here, how long does it take you to learn a song? If you hear a new song, you say, I'm going to learn how to play this. Does it take you a while?
Like, chord-wise?
Yeah.
Not that long.
See, Matt's gifted in music, so it's mm-hmm. he said, like, chord-wise, it doesn't take him that long to memorize a new song.
And get it in.
Lyrics take you longer? If you memorize the lyrics to the music, does that help you to learn those lyrics quicker?
Sure, yeah.
One of the reasons I bring that up, one of the coolest tools I have found lately is, and there are different ways of doing this. I remember at prayer retreat this year, Victoria Weiss, one of our church members, brought up a resource she uses where she, and it's scripture to music, where they have made a song out of passages. So I use one that's just verses of scripture. There's a whole playlist of them in Apple Music, and it's one or two verses, and it's put to music, and they just repeat it over and over with the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a kind of a music mind.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I will find myself singing the verse and coming out and just saying, all that to say, there are so many tools. We have it. And all it takes is that jump over to saying, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to memorize this. I'm going to put it in. So whether if it's a card, if it's a song, something that you can repeat over and over and over again. And what we repeat eventually gets ingrained. And one of the, I think, the powerful things that is brought out in this study of this last part of this practice is how much these memorized scriptures reshape our mind.
Yeah.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want a transformed life, Jesus, our scripture tells us, it starts with a transformed mind, a renewed mind.
Right.
And we all have a way of thinking that has been ingrained within us that the world has handed to us. So the way that scripture begins to reshape us is when we are able to recall it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that literally begins to reshape our brains and how we see and think about. And now, instead of this old, what I thought was true about the world, now I'm seeing it through scripture and through these means. And so this is a tool that is so important in our life.
All of these practices may feel like you're doing extra credit, but they're really not. So for many of us, we might think that, well, all I really need to do is find a good Bible teaching church and show up and listen. And that is a great way to learn the scriptures, but you and I will all benefit from reading, studying, memorizing, meditating. All of these things help reshape us and reform us, and they're all worth doing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And I think putting it within the context of relationship is huge. Mm. Like, there's different levels of listening to my wife. Right?
Yes.
If I'm not careful,
yes,
and it will not be healthy for our relationship,
right,
I can hear,
right,
but I'm not listening.
Yeah.
And she feels that, and then later she'll ask me to do something, and I'll go, I kind of remember you saying what you asked me to do, but I don't remember fully what the details were. And I realized I did not engage myself in the listening.
Right.
The most loving thing I can do for my wife is when she's talking on whatever is to be engaged in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to hear you. I want to learn. If she's opening up her heart, I really want to take that in and hear it down to my core. Think about what she's been saying to me. That is this important. That's my wife. So you think about that within a context of a relationship with the Lord, like God Almighty. Mm-hmm. through the generations,
has
recorded for us in Scripture through His Spirit, His thoughts for us. Mm-hmm. He has expressed His love to us in Christ. There is no doubt on that. He wants us to know Him. It's just, frankly, a matter of effort on our part. Do we want to know, and will I engage myself to actually listen to Him? Mm-hmm. It's going to take more than just showing up and hearing. Mm-hmm. I got to think about these things. I got to engage Him. I got to be in Scripture. When we couch it in a love relationship with God, like, these are my ways of loving you back, that I would know you more. I think it just changes. Like, this isn't a subject. It's not a chore. I am getting to know and hear from the King of the universe. How awesome is that?
Oh, yeah.
So I think with that, we're going to land the plane here on the practice of studying Scripture and and knowing Scripture. So we've had read it, meditate on it.
Study it. Memorize it.
So may Scripture be a part of your life, because you long for Christ to be a part of your life and to hear from Him. We're praying for you. Love to hear from you. Any questions you have. And we'll see you soon. Bye.